something bad. God can be cruel. God can be judgmental, and you know, any of that stuff. It's all
okay. Now we're properly live.
Trying to Internet's sneak good. Into no. the idea that God can contradict himself, and then they add in the idea of contradiction to God, and then God is also contradiction. So God is good and evil, and then God no. is balanced. That's the sneakiest. God is balanced. He's not good. He's equilibrium.
I hate that.
And when that, dude, when you get to that, that's Baphomet. You are already like 10 toes down in Baphomet juice.
What is the justification for the making balance of virtue?
Because they, it's a distortion of temperance. Temperance is a virtue of Catholicism, which is the, it's like justice, you know. You can just see it as a balance between the good of a single person and the good of a group, and a balance between a passion and apathy, etc. It's just the road between the left-hand path and the right-hand path. It's the right road, it's the narrow road. They hearken to those images. But it's more, instead of the narrow road, it's more like having one foot in the right-hand path and one foot in the left-hand path. It doesn't mean you're going straight. It means you're doing a friggin' Jean-Claude Van Damme stretching your legs apart. Showing everybody your testicles.
Yo, eating breakfast, going good.
I opened the Twitch and you're in the dark eating breakfast.
Like a boss, as I always do.
Very boss.
I'll just have to upload, or rather re-upload the video later. Yeah. It's too much strain on my internet.
But yeah, basically that woman came up with that, and with balance, there was also a lot of emphasis on the separation between body and soul, and that's a Gnostic thing. It's an older thing, but the idea that one of those things is bad. The Gnostics believe that the body is bad and the soul is good. The Freemasons believe the opposite, and then Theosophists they pretty much didn't deal with the conflict between those, and they saw it like a separate thing. The body was a thing, and then the soul, the spirit, was a completely different thing, and they sort of coincidentally intermingled, but it doesn't really have an importance. That's, yeah, I'm telling you, because that's basically okay. how they see it.
There's so much retarded with Gnosticism. How do they explain Jesus ascending with his body?
Well, they don't believe that Jesus ascended with his body.
Why does it say that in the Bible?
They think that part
Don't
is
they at
fake.
Least... Okay. So every part that agrees with Gnosticism is real.
Yeah.
And every part that doesn't is fake.
Yeah.
Because they base some of their stuff off the Old Testament. They're like, look, God did this. Doesn't this seem evil? And then like two paragraphs later, it's like, oh yeah, that city was full of like chimos. And also, you know, there will be a new covenant in Jesus and there won't have to be war or sacrifices.
The thing about Gnostics is that they spin the perspective. They're not saying the parts that agree with what we think is they're true, and the parts that don't are fake. They say that the only parts that are actually original are the ones that agree with our faith, and the ones that don't are creations of the local Gentiles and Jews that were just seeking geopolitical power, and they created that to manipulate people. It's just a basic claim for any anti-theist. They just exclude their gospels. They say, yeah, they made those up so they could control the narrative. And ours was the actual true one. They have the book of Judas, which is like Jesus talking to Judas and saying, yeah, you're my best follower. Yeah, I was hoping you did that. I'm pretty sure they agree with the Muslims too. I think they believe that Simon of Cyrene was the guy who actually got crucified, and Jesus tricked everybody.
But they know what he looks like.
But they know what he looks like. Looks like
the people who crucified him. They're not going to be like, "Yeah, that's definitely Jesus and some other like body devil."
Yeah, I don't really get that one. I really don't get that one. Because the Muslims literally believe Jesus just, like, skipped bail, basically. And Simon took up the mantle of getting crucified. Gnostics go a little further. They say that Jesus was, like, standing by and laughing and calling everybody stupid.
Oh, my God.
Or, like, no. Oh, you're so easy to trick. I tricked you all, you idiots.
That's stupid.
I don't really understand. It's complicated. And I don't think they care that much about what is codified in their retarded Nag Hammadi Gospels. They're more they're more esoteric. They're more transcendental. They don't really care that much. Whatever, like, it's just like Hermeticism. The initial things are like, oh, yeah, the Philosopher's Stone. It's a metaphor. The aeons and archons aren't literally real. They're a metaphor for...
Metaphor for what? And... Yeah, that, there's a lot of convoluted stuff there that is really just like a D&D campaign and has no like, metaphorical meaning.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you could have just stuck to angels. They're like, yeah, there's aeons. They're basically angels, but no, there's like specifically 30 of them, and they're basically angels, but we had to like set them apart like this.
I think part of creating a, I think the Greek wording, it's because Gnosticism was originally an attempt of Greek Gentiles to hijack Christianity, which was a very Jewish thing. And then they like took Jewish customs and traditions and Christianity, and they tried to hijack both at the same time and turn it into Greek stuff. So they said, oh, there, it's not angels and demons, it's actually archons and aeons, which were Greek words. It's not,
yeah, you know, and there's they, the they pleroma, and there's
it's not God, it's not Yahweh, it's actually the demiurge.
This is, you know what this is? This is like when you make your OC and it looks exactly like Sonic the Hedgehog, and you're like,
yeah,
no, this is this is like Bonic the Beaver.
Bonic the Beaver.
Freaking Bonic the Beaver. Pretty good.
Man. I heard from some Arab guy that the Jesus who was crucified was not the real one, but a double created by God because he loved his son too much to see him die. Yeah, that's Muslim crap that they took from Gnostics. But yeah, what was it? Oh yeah, racism. Okay, so they make this syncretic thing, and one of the things they do to, I guess, to syncretize Gnosticism and the Gentile Freemasonry that was rising was that they, instead of resolving the conflict of the body and the soul by saying one was good and the other one was bad, what they did was say that they were sort of coincidentally linked. They didn't really matter that much, that the dualism wasn't really real, and that the soul was the only thing that mattered, which is Spiritism. They don't really believe in the importance. They believe in reincarnation, which is basically belief in the unimportance of the body. And the other side of that was that, well, the bodies don't matter. They're just receptacles, right? But we exist in a limited receptacle, not because of a fault of our souls, but because, like, it's not binary. So it's like evolution. Your soul, if your soul is evolved enough, you'll go to a body that's more evolved. And if your soul is not evolved, it goes to a body that's less evolved. So, and that's Hinduism, by the way. The reincarnation thing, you can reincarnate as a frog or a retard in case you do bad things. And they just, okay, you know who's unevolved? Black people. And that became part of the religion. That's Ariosophy. So black people and Jews, and I think Eastern Europeans, they're less evolved ape men And if you do bad things, you'll reincarnate as a black person. I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically the belief. And they said, okay, so that we can, like, push evolution forward, we need to actualize our souls by subjugating the inferior races. So you enslave and eugenically dispose of them so that you push evolution forward, both physically and spiritually. And then eventually you're going to get to a point where you're like an orb or whatever. You're a Dwemer. You freaking did the... You fell into the God machine or something. Like that level of just esoteric, imaginative. Y'all, you're going to transcend and go to the higher realm. Whatever. It's not even... That's not even something that you can conceive of, but that's basically what they believe in. That if you evolve, you just go... Yeah, you just go way up. All the way up. They get turned up. Turn their swag on.
Take a look in the mirror, say what's up. I didn't reincarnate as a black person. Yeah. Yes. Oh.
Anyway, Lotus, how have the past few weeks been for you? Because we haven't talked in a long time.
It's literally like the same shit as always. Like nothing has happened. Oh wait, my mom moved. That's it. So now I'm here alone.
You're living alone?
Yes, completely alone now.
Man, how's that been treating you?
It's not bad, actually, because my family was kind of batshit, so it's more, like, quiet, not terrible.
Yeah, that is better.
I like it.
It's very nice to be chilling and not have to do anything. Your house just piles up with detritus and garbage as you live.
I read Dr. Jordan Peterson, and my house is spotless most of the time.
What? Dr. George Peterson? Can you repeat that?
Jordan Peterson.
George Peterson. I don't know who that guy is.
Check him out. Though.
Maybe I'll look it up. wasn't he that guy that had naked pictures of him in the Black Panther movie? I'm pretty sure he was. I think there were pictures of Jordan B. Peterson naked in the Jordan Peterson movie? No, in the Black Panther movie.
Naked Jordan Peterson in the George Peterson movie.
Email your anus goodbye because I just made dinner? Listen, turbo plopping is good. I'm not gonna lie. I'll get rid of schizification because that's just...
What? Come on.
That's just a word.
Gamification, sissification, and schizification.
Is there a loan entry of sissification? Because that's just the word.
Yeah, but we already know that one. I'm going to forget schizification if I don't write it down somewhere. We're going over the ideas document right now. What?
I'm right on the verge of farting my entire butthole to pieces. Yeah, I think this is good too. I think turbo plopping solves it all.
Turbo plopping is good. This bramble, I gotta go twerk and turbo plop in the bathroom. I'll be right back.
Turbo plop. All right. Cool. We're getting off track here.
Yep.
Is there ever a track?
Okay, Lotus, I have to have you, I have to incentivize you to do this too, because there is a live stream function in the sensor TV thing, and I tell Sophia to like figure out how to work it, but she doesn't want to do it because she's scared of people bullying her for being racist on CTV. So I have to tell you to do it. Learn how to live stream on CTV, yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I don't want to be around those guys. That's scary.
Why not?
Because they scare me. They're all like grown military men.
Nah, no, what? No, they're not. They're like retards.
This fan base scares me.
Like half of the people watching you are atheism isn't stopping.
I noticed. They keep mentioning AUI in my comments. But that guy, isn't he kind of a little bit racial? Like all his videos are about
Black people actually. Do wrong. I don't know why, because he's an atheist, but I don't really know. I don't understand the temperamental lenience towards race.
Is he really an atheist? I thought that was ironic.
No, he's actually an atheist.
Oh, why is he on the site?
I don't know.
We all talk about God there. This is like an atheist came to our Bible club and we're like, dude,
Speaking of Bible Club, my intention for today's stream is talking about a Bible passage and seeing if you guys can figure it out. It's sort of a riddle.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm going to wait Sophia to come back so we can talk about this, but it's very riddle-like.
Is it the Old Testament or New Testament?
New Testament.
Okay, I have better chances. I hate the Old Testament. It spooks me.
Yeah, the Old Testament is spooky. Spooky.
Way too much going on there. Like, I can't and I don't want to, like, misinterpret what I'm reading and stuff, so I try to read along with, like, pastors. Did you hear about, like, Ravi Zacharias? I was so shocked. Ravi Zacharias is, like, a well-known, like, Christian apologist, and then he got caught with, like, so many sexual allegations, and I just really surprised because, like, he was a bigger hero of mine. I really liked him, so it sucks when you hear stuff like that.
Ravi?
Ravi Zacharias. But I saw him speak live and everything. Like, I really liked him because he's always, like, arguing in colleges, like, against atheists like Sam Harris and stuff.
Oh, I might have seen this guy before.
He's a big weirdo. He's like, ah, that sucks.
Yeah, that is. That does suck.
Yeah, he seemed like a good guy. So hearing that was, like, pretty shocking. I wasn't so shocked when I heard about Joel Osteen. You know, he seemed kind of cheesy. But then, like, when I heard Ravi, I was like, shit.
Dude, really, I'm going to tell you something right now that you should, get worried about. Is really get into Catholicism. And I know that freaks you out. But
I know.
Don't think of the general, okay? Go check out St. Augustine of Hippo and St. Thomas Aquinas.
I love Thomas Aquinas. I've read his stuff a little bit.
He's a Dominican friar. The Dominicans are the best ones. Like, there's no religious order that contributed more, I think.
Thomas Aquinas. Yeah, he wrote a lot of, like, in detail writings about the Bible, actually. That's why I like him.
Yeah, and he was a Catholic. And there's so much stuff. If you go to, like, the problem with Protestantism, like, on a consumption surface, is that they really don't have a canon. That's the biggest problem. They don't have a canon. So every Protestant is slightly different than the other one, and you basically have no consistency about a lot of things.
Like, yeah, no, I don't.
Like, hell, for example. What's hell? You can answer me this.
A place where people go in the afterlife if they don't accept Jesus.
Okay, how's it like? Is it nothingness? Where you go to burning. Meditate? Oh, burning.
There's, like, levels with demons, and, like, depending on offense, you're in a different, like, deeper level with, like, worse punishment.
Yeah.
Right? Is that...
There's a thing C.S. Lewis talks about, is that we don't notice how deep certain traditions go into us, but a very common Protestant belief is that hell is actually annihilation. It's that your soul stops existing along with your body. The doctrine that hell is a place of burning and fire is a very is one that they consider symbolic.
Oh, really? Catholics?
Very often. No. Protestants consider it symbolic very often. Catholics consider it literally, and they believe in Revelations, which talks about a great lake of fire. John Calvin never, I think John Calvin didn't consider Revelations a part of the Christian canon. Martin Luther wanted to get rid of it too.
Mm-hmm. Why? Why?
It was inspired.
Yes.
They didn't think it was part of the religious canon. They didn't think it was inspired by God.
Who are they to say that though?
Well, dudes.
That's some guys.
That's the really big problem with Protestantism, is that anybody can say anything. Whereas if you want to say anything about, like, the literal meanings, if you're going to speak authoritatively about the meaning of a passage of the Bible within Catholicism, you have to have some type of backing. Like, you'd have to be a priest or ideally a doctor to establish a new doctrine. Whereas in Protestantism, there's not even a hierarchy for that. Anybody can be a pastor. just preach. You can preach wrong. That's how Latin American countries all have like Santeria and all that stuff. It's because they all like they feel like they can preach in their own way, and this ends up creating distortions all the time.
Yeah, literally anyone can go out there.
That's weird. You just believe in anything that anyone says.
Yeah, like, well, you basically pick and choose what is symbolic and what isn't.
Stupid.
I like the rule for exegesis that God, one, God is never wrong. Two, everything is literally true and also symbolically true. And that is the greatest way to read it. And which brings me to my question of the day. I think it, let me see here. Matthew chapter 27. And the verse.
Yeah. Open my Bible. I have it right next to
you. You can go get it. You might need it.
I'm gonna fetch mine.
Listen. Matthew 27.
Matthew chapter 27, okay?
What verse?
46. And this is like, this is the basis for Docetism, for a bunch of things, a bunch of heresies, that, and it's not easy to solve, and you guys are going to have to solve it. I think Sophia has a cheat code, because I've already told her about this. Okay, you, Lotus, read verse 46 for me.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. In about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani? I don't know how to say that, I'm sorry. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? What do you need me to solve?
Okay, listen. I'll ask you, the first question is, if Jesus is God, how can he be asking God why he had forsaken him?
Is he talking to himself? Because he is God.
Well, you can say it's from the human part. Or well, you can that, say it's
yeah, but
from...
That, would imply...
that has always confused me as a kid, that's actually. A problem. I've always heard this verse and, like, freaked out.
Because like, if God you say, oh, air? It's him being a human. Yeah, but there was no point in which he was not 100% God. So if Jesus as a human being thought, I am forsaken by God, isn't that one of the unforgivable sins? Like, to think that God has erred or something? Because that is, like, to be forsaken by God when he is sinless and he was forsaken by God. Isn't that to imply that God has made a mistake?
I think it's more so, like, why did you choose to do it this route?
Yeah, but he's God. Maybe. Wouldn't he know?
No, because he's God's son. So, like, the mortal part also of him God. Is unaware.
Somewhere it says... about the end of times that only the Father knows, not even the Son, when it's gonna happen.
Whoa, when is where is there? Because now I'm
it does say that.
I've read up to like Luke in the New Testament.
Because if that is literally true, then that's impossible. Because how would the Son of God not know something when he is God and God is omniscient?
We have Father, Spirit, and Son, right? And then the Spirit is what dwells within us. But we don't know everything about God either. But we have God within us too.
Yeah, but we are not God. We can be guided by God, but we are not God. Jesus.
The Spirit
was God,
is
though.
Within us. It's with us. Jesus is only half God. He was half man.
No, that would imply 50-50. He was 100-100.
He was half.
Mark,
he was part human. He was put on this earth as
Mark
a man.
Mark 13:32.
Mark 13:32 DRBO. Let me find that. This is a good one. I'm really interested in.
But of that day or hour, no man knoweth, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but the Father.
No man knoweth, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son. Not that the Son of God is absolutely ignorant of the day of judgment, but that he knoweth it not as our teacher. That is, he knoweth it not so as to teach it to us, as not being expedient. Oh, okay. Okay, I got it.
Oh, yeah, there's an annotation at the bottom.
So it's not necessarily that God, that God the Son doesn't know it, as in having knowledge of it. It's that he...
But it's not pertinent to his specific duties.
Yes.
He doesn't bring about
as the Father. So it speaks more historically of Jesus here, because this happens a bunch of times. Not every doing of Jesus is an eternal doing, because some of his doings are as man. Okay. Okay, that one's easy to solve, but it's really hard to figure out why. Okay, Lotus, can you proceed? I'm not going to interrupt you this time. If he is God, how can he think that he was forsaken?
Well, I think that I separate the man aspect, but also if you look at the definition of forsaken, it just means abandoned, right? So that means God literally left him. So that means if he didn't have God with him in that moment, that means he... it's hard to explain, so I'm bad at explaining. That means that he didn't have God, therefore he didn't know what the hell was happening. And I think that was Yeshua's job to figure out on his own.
Well,
because God often takes himself away from us to figure out for ourselves why things are the way they are.
The problem with that is that God had to die for us to live. If he had abandoned Jesus truly at that moment, then he wouldn't have died, because that would mean that a man died and not God. So God had to die, and God did die as a man, but it was God. At no point was he not God. That's a very necessary thing, that at no point Jesus became less God.
Well, okay, I'll entertain this. I know the answer, but what about when he's like in the garden and asking for it not to happen, but that he will do it if it's Father's will?
When everyone's sleeping, when he prays.
What's the passage? What's the passage?
I'll look it up. Find it somewhere in the...
This is gonna become a video, by the way, Lotus. You're going to be in a Sophia video.
Oh, that's cool.
I don't think Jesus had omnipotence.
The disciples fall asleep, and then he keeps praying and asking God, like, if there's a different way.
Well, are there doctors that have established whether or not he had, like, true omnipotence, to what degree he was, like...
I think that's all solved with the doctrine of glory. Jesus, in his first coming, was not in his glory mode.
They say he was in the flesh, so that means quite literally he was a human. And then he came out of a woman, a human woman, so he had human DNA.
Yeah. If he wanted to activate God mode, he could, but he didn't. But he will in the second coming. He's going to come, you know, flying in a chariot with the burning...
Oh, yeah.
And then swords in the mouth. All that. That's omnipotence right there. He could destroy the whole world, and he will.
Okay, it's the second coming. The one I found is Matthew 26, 39.
39, okay. I'll see if I can find that. 26:39.
Got it.
And going a little further, he fell upon his face praying and saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this chalice pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Okay, I think this is also easily solvable if you think about prayer in general. When you ask God for something in prayer, it's not asking that God alter the order of the world, of the universe, of the temporal existence for your favor. It's not like you can convince him to do different, because he is all-knowing. So how could praying change the course of his actions? That's impossible. What it is a declaration of humility. It's making yourself humble before God. Even if something is impossible, like, you still pray. Because, like, it's like bad things happen, but it's still important that you don't want them to happen. not because you have a hope of stopping them all from happening, but because to not want bad things to happen is the correct way to go about things. So it's righteous, even though you don't plan to stop all bad things from happening any soon, nor do you expect them to stop, but you still want them to stop, and you'll still pray for them to stop, even if God will continue to allow them to happen. So Jesus praying for his sorrow to not happen is still just, because what they did to Jesus was an injustice. But he wasn't expecting God the Father to withhold crucifixion, nor did he truly believe that it would be a good thing if the crucifixion hadn't happened.
That makes sense.
He was just saying it would be preferable if it didn't have to happen, which is true. If Adam didn't eat of the apple, actually. So it's a prayer.
Fruit.
In prayer,
it never says apple. It drives me crazy. It never says apple in the Bible. It just says fruit.
Yeah, it's. I think it's something like it's almost, what is it? It's not a pineapple. It's something like, it's like a grapefruit or something.
What?
In paintings, yeah, they use a grapefruit.
Pomegranate?
Seriously, grapefruit?
Yeah, pomegranate.
Suck. Why would they
I think
that?
So. Okay. We went to two different passages. We have to come back to the main one.
Yep.
Figure this out. Okay. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why would Jesus, who is God, say this? Because even if, one, he couldn't be abandoned by God because he was God, so how could this be possible? And two, he would know because he's omniscient, even as man, because when he was being tempted in the garden by Satan and he was meditating.
Well, then you have to question for what reason he said it, because you said about the prayer thing that he knows that he's still going to have to go through the crucifixion despite praying. So why would he pray if he knows?
Why would you pray?
You could apply the same thing here. Maybe he knows, he just says it still.
Okay, but this isn't a prayer. Because my justification for the prayer thing is that...
It's a question, it's a lamenting. So you have to ask where it's from.
It's not a lamentation. It's because he doesn't... This is something to be paid attention to. He is asking, so you could... see it as prayer, but I don't think it is prayer, because it's also an affirmation. Why have you forsaken me? So you have forsaken me. I want to know why. So it's not my God forsake me not. It's not it's why have you done that? So it's an accusation.
Maybe he was wondering.
If he said my God forsake me not, then I'd get it as a prayer. Okay, so he's. It's not that he thinks his father is abandoning him. It's he's lamenting it, his situation. And he's not that he believes that God would ever abandon or forsake anybody.
Questioning why it had to be that way? Like, why does it have to be?
Yeah, but wouldn't he know being God?
No, because they're separate. Like, there's so many truths that God doesn't reveal to Jesus, like, immediately throughout the Bible. Like, he figures it out on himself. God never even directly tells Jesus that he's the Son of God. He just has to find out for himself.
Is that so?
He wouldn't know. Now we're going down a different road now. That'll be interesting. Me neither. I don't think
in any point in the Bible, like, God directly tells Jesus, you are...
But if you're
I think he found out first.
If
right?
you're a person of God, one of the three would know.
Okay, we're in I think we're in the 6th century right now, and we're having a council and asking if Jesus was begotten at the time of his birth, or had he already existed before in a body, and he just like devolved into a fetus to be born in Mary. Did Jesus exist before he was begotten by God the Father?
I think so. I think he was already there.
Okay.
God is always existing.
Yeah, okay. Then it is necessarily true that he knew, like, Jesus was omniscient from the time he was a little baby boy.
Yeah, why does why does he go to the temple when he's 12 years old and, like, outsmart all the doctors, and then when his parents show up, he says, I'm going about my father's business.
I think that's a Socratic thing.
Oh, he says that? I'm going about my father's business?
Yeah.
That's a Socratic thing. Like, not necessarily because when he outsmarts all those dudes and he's found at the temple questioning them, it's not because he actually wants to, like, argue. It's not like he can derive new knowledge from these people.
He shed some wisdom on them.
Yeah.
And it revealed some things to his parents.
So it was preaching. So it was already.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We're back here. My God, why has thou forsaken me? I have two theories about this. One I have already told Sophia, and the other one I figured out the last mass I went to, and I thought it was even more clever than my first one. My first theory about this is that God is life. The people of God are found in the Book of Life because God is life, and death is not included in God. So when Jesus, which is God, is entering into death, he's dying, he's meeting death, that's something God is not knowledgeable of, because God doesn't know evil, because evil is not knowing, just like death is not knowing. So as he died, he was speaking from the perspective of death. Like, he was at least partially dying. You know how when you die, you see a white light? People talk about that. How when you die, you start seeing things? Like a near-death moment. So he's near death. So he's starting to enter death, which in Christianity, it is like a different dimension. So it is entirely understandable how that can happen. And when he is entering into death, he is basically entering into a territory that is not within the knowledge of God, because it is not knowledge. It's the absence of. Death is not being. And God is being. God is. So when he speaks, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He is talking from the perspective of death and the dead.
Weird.
Which is the only way, because the only way
for the people that, in always speak.
The only way that people who had died would go back to heaven, would come back from the dead, would be if God died. And the only way that God died like them was to experience it the exact same way. And death is not something we know. We're unable to understand what death is, because where our souls are, you know, created by God to process life. We're meant to be alive, and we don't know death. So when we die, we can't really deal with it. We just die. We can't really do anything about it. God is the only being powerful enough to be able to die and, you know, make sense of it. So when he does die, he asks, why hast thou forsaken me? Not because Jesus in particular was forsaken by God the Father, because that's impossible, but because he was dying in the place of man. So he was fulfilling the entire role of a man. So that wasn't Jesus speaking from the heart as Jesus. He was speaking from the perspective of a dead man. Not because he couldn't know, but because he had to do that. He had to.
It's like he's speaking from, like, the people in Limbo.
Yeah.
What is it called? Like, good people wouldn't go to heaven. They would just go to, like, the top part of hell, which was, like, nice. But not heaven.
Nice.
Nice. But yeah. it was them.
So the voice of them. For example, when you pray to Mary, you don't pray to Mary. Mary is not a god. You pray that she prays for you. You ask her to pray for you. And when people prayed, when people asked Jesus something, ask something of him. Obviously, all three members of the Godhead, of the Trinity, rather, they know what the other one knows. The Holy Spirit knows everything the God the Father knows, and both of them know what God the Son knows. So when God the Son was dying as a man, he was echoing the prayers and the lamentations of the dead man in Hades. And, when it echoed into Jesus, it echoed into God the Father and the Holy Spirit at the same time. And when Jesus died, the good man in Hades could go back to heaven, could go to heaven. That's my first theory, which I think is good and interesting.
Yeah.
Think of, God doesn't know death, so in entering death, he necessarily is entering into territory of the absence of being, the absence of knowledge, which he truly does not know, not because he's unable to have that wisdom, but because it is the opposite of wisdom. So he had to make himself the lamb of sin, even though he was not a sinner. But he had to behave as if he was, so he had to suffer like a sinner and die like one of us, which includes that. But yeah. My other theory is I think it's more correct, and I just figured this out. The ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice. Now, I did check a couple of other translations here, and I figured out that the word cried isn't necessarily crying in sadness. It's like yelling or screaming angrily or shouting, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." He spoke Hebrew there, and it's specified that he spoke Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was, how when right before in the same book of Matthew, the centurion asks him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus responds, "You're the one saying it," which is, he's about to die. So it's weird that he's responding like that. He's like, it's almost like he's being sarcastic.
Yeah.
And he did this with one of the Jews in the Sanhedrin too. The judge asked him, have you been saying you're the son of God? And Jesus said, you just said that I'm the son of God, dude. And he ripped his clothes apart.
Mm-hmm.
So this was something that Jesus did many times.
Thou hast said it thing.
Yeah, exactly. He wasn't nice. Just like the let the dead bury the dead thing, he wasn't nice necessarily.
Or with the wedding at Cana, what would you have me do about it, woman?
Yeah.
Or there's like a servant lady who asks him to help her, and he's like, the food is for the children, not the dogs. And she's like,
yeah.
But even the dogs get crumbs off the table. And then he's like, wow, you are extremely full of faith. I will heal you. He's like trolling them sometimes. It's kind of funny.
He's sassy. I like it.
So I'm saying this. So I'm saying that he was shouting, and he was shouting in Hebrew specifically because he was mocking the unfaithful and the murmuring people.
What? You think it's mocking?
I do think so, because he's saying, what? God, God, why have you forsaken me, when he's the one that was abandoned? You get what I'm saying?
Oh, that's so weird.
So everybody, since the beginning of time, when they're in pain, they're like, oh, God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so mean to me? And when God was there, they abandoned him. They left him for dead. They gave him vinegar to drink and humiliated and tortured him, and even his apostles like pretended that they didn't knew Jesus. So he says it in Hebrew specifically. That's why it is in the passage in 27:46. He says, Eli, Lama Sabachthani. He's saying it because, you know, up until that point, most of the people interacting with Yahweh were Jews. And he's basically saying, all of you who in your times of pain said, why have I forsaken you? But now I'm here with you, and you crucified, tortured, humiliated, and abandoned me because I'm dying alone on the cross. And the only thing you guys can offer me is like mockery. Because some that stood there and heard, this man calleth Elias, and immediately one of them running took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. You see what he's saying here?
Mm-hmm.
He says, God, why have you forsaken me, in Hebrew, to point out that it's not God that has abandoned humanity. That's never the case. It's humanity that abandons God and then suffers the consequences for it. Since Genesis, it was humanity that disobeyed and abandoned God, got separated from God. It wasn't God that left them. Sin isn't God pushing us away because we're bad. Sin is us moving away from God by our choice. That's the meaning of it, I think. And that's why it's said specifically in Hebrew, because those were the people mainly doing it for like thousands of years. He kept blessing them and they kept murmuring. He kept giving them what they wanted and they kept destroying it and doing what he told them not to do. And then they cried, why is this happening, when God expressly told them, if you do what I tell you not to do, I'll withhold my blessings because you're moving away from me.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did that. And then they asked, oh my God, why is this happening? Well, you know why it's happening. You abandoned God.
That was part of the covenant, is he said, if you do my commandments, I will bless you and whatever. Own all the lands. But he also said, if you don't follow them, you will be cursed. You don't just live a life outside of the domain and we don't interact. Either you follow or you alienate yourself.
And immediately one of them running a sponge and filled it with vinegar. Oh yeah, and he was like pointing out, speaking Hebrew, he was pointing out his God's connection with the chosen people, with the original Israelites, and instead of like noticing what he's talking about the, you know, hundreds of like centuries of history between Hebrews and Yahweh, instead of noticing that, the people there heard and they didn't notice, like they didn't accept that he was talking about God and his relationship with the chosen people. They said, this man is calling Elias. So that's further mockery of that connection. So after centuries of continually helping the Hebrews and being betrayed, when it's about to be over, and he like they refuse to even acknowledge that stuff happened. They didn't even know that this man calleth Elias, and then they give him vinegar. That's like the summary of after hundreds of years of God helping the Hebrews, they don't even acknowledge it even happened. They don't even remember that. Just like it was in the Old Testament. And the other said, let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to deliver him. So they're mocking the idea that... They're mocking God. The idea that... That God would be something to call on. They say a name similar to God's name. And they say, yeah, well, you calling to a dude named God? Who's this God you keep calling? I don't know anybody named God. That's what they're saying to Jesus, who's dying on the cross, by the way.
What assholes. What
assholes. And Jesus, again, crying with all voice, yielded up the ghost.
I mean, it is incredibly confounding if you go read the Old Testament, like how often... I mean, there's just books full of, like, that just detail how, like, they do the right thing, then they just go worship a random, like, idol.
Like, yeah, so stupid. I always
as soon as they
that.
Left,
and then, like, and then some cool guy delivers them, and then once he dies, they go back and start worshiping the idol again.
And if it seems unlikely that this would happen, if that Jesus would speak this way, think about Moses. Okay, when he had recently left Egypt, And Moses was like, okay, I'll go up to the mountain to talk to God. And he goes there. He gets the Ten Commandments, which is like the one of the most, like top five religious symbols of Christianity. Like the most important things that there could be. The laws of God. The law. And he comes down and they're worshiping a golden calf, right? And then Moses, like,
so
Moses destroys the tablets. And you would think that's wrong, but it's an appropriate reaction. Like, they don't care about law. I've just spent 40 days fasting on a mountain for these people who don't care about the law. Because they couldn't take a month without worshiping a friggin' golden calf.
Yeah, so yeah, oh my gosh. Because it's either they don't care about the law, or they make like lawyers and they try to find ways to pervert it in the worst way possible, like in the Talmud or whatever.
So irritating.
They argue about it to twist it. So. But that's humanity.
So if I were to translate that little passage there, it would be Jesus pointing out the history of the relationship between people and God. Where people keep pretending that God abandons them when it's the opposite. And when he does that, the people don't even acknowledge it. They say, what are you talking about? I don't know anybody named God. Drink from this vinegar sponge.
And that's very appropriate. They don't remember God's existence until they are forsaken. And then they call upon him.
And when Jesus points that out, they pretend like they don't even know what he's talking about.
Dude, what? I gotta go. Bye. Take this vinegar. I'm gonna go turbo pop.
Are you? They tell Jesus he's crazy for even pointing that out. What are you, insane? Are you out of your mind? So which is a very like, it's heartfelt from Jesus. He's saying, wow, you shouldn't abandon me. That's terrible. That's a terrible thing to do. And they don't even acknowledge the meaning of that. And they just go, he's calling upon some dude named God. Do we have a God in the building?
Oops, can the real God please stand up?
So like the most heartfelt and like painful thing God could point out about people. And they don't even take it seriously, which is the most appropriate thing. Just like they did before, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he's really the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. But the reason he doesn't do that, the reason Jesus just doesn't destroy everyone is because even if he did like display that, it wouldn't matter because they keep forgetting. They keep refusing to acknowledge it and just not caring. So it doesn't matter how many miracles he performs. That they'll keep doing it. So I think that's the best way to see it. Because there's nothing with people mocking God in this chapter. They just keep like ridiculing him in every single verse. So this is just further mockery of him.
Oh, you know what? I promise I just remembered this. Wasn't there like a prophecy that said that like, in order to be the son of God or like be the proper Messiah, that like there needs to be a certain amount of prophecies that are fulfilled, and then saying why have you forsaken me was a part of one of the prophecies that needed to be fulfilled in order to be the proper Messiah.
Where's that from? I don't know what you're talking about.
In the Old Testament, like if you read the New Testament, mm-hmm. something will happen like, oh, they cast lots for his clothes, and then it'll say like it was told by the prophet in the Old Testament. They were going to cast lots for his clothes. So I think that was one of them. But I think that was included in the original prophecy because that was part of the, like, that was part of the point, basically.
I think it was like, the Old Testament is basically, so Jesus couldn't just come here, like, right after Adam fell and go through his passion and do that then. Jesus, as a man, would have to recreate and take the fall for every single possible sin. That was the point of the crucifixion. Every single possible sin is redeemable. And for him to be able to do that, every single possible from sin to redemption story has to be accomplished. So in the Old Testament, you have every single possible one of them played out, not by God and himself, but by us and God. So when Jesus came, he could appropriately reenact every single one of them, and they could tell, oh, he's not just making this up. We did this, and he's like reproducing it in order to redeem our sins, because we're not able to do that solidly. But it's not God and God, because God the Son is recreating our actions. So it's us. It's our relationship with God. So necessarily, the Old Testament would have to play out exactly the way it did. I think, man, this is one of the, like, the New Testament is so thick, dude. It's so, like, every single verse has a thousand little things about it.
It's very dense. It's the exact opposite of the Old Testament.
Yeah. I think it's literally one third of the size of the Old Testament. Or something like, or half.
And it tells a way shorter story, because it tells the same story repeatedly for a lot of it, and then it talks about the apostles, whereas the Old Testament goes across like thousands of years.
There's a lot of weird stuff in the Bible that people don't really talk about, and I wish we did talk about that.
We should.
New Testament stuff.
We'll come across stuff as we read.
I hear there's a lot of prophetic weird stuff in Ecclesiastes. And I gotta check that. But it is. It's an Old Testament book, but still, it's very interesting. It's one of the books that Martin Luther took out of the Bible, one of the seven.
Why that one?
I think because it had too much emphasis on having a hierarchy and a canon, and Martin Luther didn't like that. What did I send to you these days? It's a quote by Martin Luther. Let me see if I can find it. Oh, right here. God does not work salvation for fictitious sinners. Be a sinner and sin vigorously. Do not for a moment imagine that this life is the abiding place of justice. Sin must be committed.
What?
That's Martin Luther.
For a moment.
What? We're supposed to actively repent against sin and not be proud of it, though.
Yeah, that's a Catholic thing. Like, the idea that you have to,
because once
to
you go
work towards salvation, that's
yeah. Powerful. Once you go to faith alone, it's very hard to find a reason why anything you do matters besides just like believing.
Yeah.
And defining believing.
The five fundamental doctrines of Protestantism is sola fide, which is by faith alone. So you have to do no works to be redeemed at all. You only have to believe and accept Jesus. You don't have to do anything. You can, you know, do whatever. Do literally whatever you want.
God tells us to work, though, all the time.
Yeah. Tell that to Martin Luther.
He's dumb.
All right.
Weird. So you think it's mocking? I've never heard that before, ever. For all the times, every Easter I've had, I've never heard Jesus is mocking us. Or the people who say, why have God forsaken me?
Well, mocking is sort of a...
Yeah, not mocking,
harsh
but,
way to put it, but like...
This is
what you guys do.
Or alluding
and,
to
and
it.
And now, yeah. And now you're like...
Yeah, you accuse me of this when...
It's hypocritical. He's pointing out hypocrisy.
Yeah. As you would do often.
Mm-hmm. Scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites.
And then, it's so funny. I really like thinking about those parts of the New Testament, because that's us. I really dislike the reactionary thing of thinking like, yeah, the Jews killed Jesus. No, you are the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta understand that.
Yeah, that's the agreement when the chosen people got expanded from Israelites to everybody. Now you are also like guilty as well.
Everyone's guilty, bro.
Yeah, you're saved and you're guilty. So
you're saved and you're guilty, exactly.
Makes sense.
So when
held accountable because
salvation doesn't come free.
If you ever think like, why has God abandoned me? You gotta immediately think, yeah, I'm probably abandoning God. It's why I'm feeling this way.
I never think God even abandons us.
Like, you would be surprised how often people think that. It's really annoying. That's one thing that I'm okay with, because I'm okay with not dealing with, because I don't ever think like some people have. I don't know what it is with some people, but they have this mechanism in their brain where they think God can be wrong when that's like impossible ontologically. Like, why is God so cruel? Like, what do you mean? How could that be?
He's not, yeah.
Cruel how? I mean, something, if all of the suffering, he experiences it too. Everything that you go through, you believe, if you truly believe that there's a part of him in you, he's experiencing it. Well,
yeah, that's one of the first things I thought. Like, if you hurt yourself, you're not just hurting yourself, you're hurting God, because if it weren't for God, you wouldn't have the ability to hurt yourself. You can only do that because he allows it, and you only exist because he put a part of himself in you. You can only think because of that, so you're necessarily hurting God. So it's you that's doing the hurting.
Bro, now I feel bad for every time I've hurt myself.
Like, necessarily, there's no way around it. There's no way for God to be cruel. Cause like, you would have to know what is the direct work of God and not something that he allowed. And you would have to know exactly. You have to know so much to even make that claim. And then it would still necessarily be wrong because it's a contradiction. If you're saying God is bad, then you have a concept of an absolute good. And then, but then you're saying the absolute good is bad. So you're contradicting yourself.
Unless you have that stupid religion that you were talking about earlier, where they like blatantly contradict.
Because God is the absolute good.
I have a Bible verse that clarifies it. Isaiah 43:2, it says, when you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. So that just proves that he's always with us.
Yeah. Well, Gnostics, the way Gnostics take out of it, get out of it is by saying, well, no, the creator of the world is not the real God. He's evil. But in doing that, they take blame off themselves as well, because if you force yourself to go down the route of no, that is God and he allows this to happen, then you have to logically conclude that it's your fault. They say, no, it's not, it can't be real God, I don't deserve this, I'm kind of cool.
Yeah, this was a C.S. Lewis thing, but he said, if you imply in it by any means that God has done something bad, then you have an ideal of an absolute good. And the absolute good is God, but then you're saying God is bad. So you're right back at the beginning, and you just created a paradox.
I've heard a lot of apologists use that.
They removed the Book of James, Protestants.
James.
What?
Simply removes his grace from those who abandon him. Rather, you expunge the grace from yourself, because it can't exist alongside your evil.
You fall. He doesn't like push you.
You take a swan dive out of paradise yourself. Ugh.
you want, dog? Trying to stay in perfection, please.
Yeah, and of course, suffering is an opportunity to grow in perfection, because not everybody that suffers has done something awful to, you know, warrant it, like Jesus, but there's always a reason.
Yeah, there's always a reason. I don't know. There's not a bad thing that happens that I don't think. I probably did something to deserve this. Because at the bottom, I think, if I was there, I probably would have killed Jesus. Probably what? Not. I definitely would have killed Jesus. So am I kidding myself?
Would I have you, no doubt about you, that. I feel like, well, you would have probably been one of the disciples. Like,
yeah, but even the disciples betrayed him.
They they denied him, knowing him, so they didn't get put to death as well. But that doesn't mean they dislike him or disown what he says. Like, they still in their heart believe.
Well, Judas betrayed him. Peter denied him. The rest of them ran away.
Yeah, none of them stood for Christ.
I think John was by the cross.
Oh, it was John. I thought it was Peter. Sorry.
Yeah, John stayed at the cross. But Peter was the favorite. Came the Pope, and he denied him.
Wait, wasn't John the favorite?
Yeah, John was the one God loved.
Well, yeah, it states him as the one God loved, but Peter is like,
oh, okay.
He's the rock, and he made the first profession of faith.
Oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, but that's really worrisome that, you know, only John was there. Only John and his mom.
I mean, because, yeah, what was the common sentiment among everybody was that, look at this homo saying he's God. What a retard. Just kill him.
Yeah.
Just kill him. It'll be funny.
Yeah. What Jordan says about, like, if you were in Nazi Germany or the Soviet Union, you probably would have been a guard.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you were in the crucifixion of Jesus, you probably would have spat at him.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, if you had the opportunity to throw a rock at his head, you would. That's human nature. That's us right there. We would have said, "Who are you talking to? Who's this
guy?" You don't like throw rocks.
Got a god in the house.
But you, like, you and Soph, like, you guys stick together and, like, support God. You know what I mean? Like, you, like, I don't think you would have been on.
Yeah, but at that time, nobody really knew.
Yeah, but we have so much backing, and we're in such comfortable positions to do what we do.
Mm-hmm.
If
you were like everybody else, you would have been on the end of, like, hating Soph. If you were like everybody else, you would have been this very
But that doesn't result in death. I mean, the reason Peter denied is because the possibility was getting crucified along with Jesus if they knew you were one of his disciples.
I understand running away from, like, getting fucking killed. I think any rational person would probably. We
wouldn't have stuck by him.
I don't think you would have.
Yeah, if I was there and they asked me, like, you believe in Jesus? I said, no, sorry. I'm leaving.
Yeah, I believe that, but I don't think you'd be casting rocks at him.
I don't know. I couldn't say.
I mean, every time you sin, you cast rocks and spit on him, so.
Yeah, that's everything, like. That's every day you do that. We all do that every day.
But the difference between us and them is that we repent. Like, we have remorse for doing sin.
I'm not saying we're unrepentant and we're going to hell. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that if we were there, like, right now when we sin, like, it's barely even noticed because we don't have even that metric anymore. And particularly, we aren't that grievous of sinners. But how many times we spit in Christ's face in thought?
I hope not.
Like 10 times a day at least.
Yeah.
You think something terrible. And Jesus knows, because he knows everything. So he knows. He knows what you're thinking. He knows the things you think. So you're doing that. Like, it's not as noticeably ugly as throwing a rock on Jesus, but it's just as heinous. I'll let you know that. Because you think, like...
A lot of them, like, just, like, turn, like, completely, like, they turn their faith from him. Like, they didn't believe in him anymore. You know what I mean? There's a difference because they outright, like, rejected him. And they don't, after that, I'm sure that they just found him to be a clown. But, like, there's people who genuinely did believe him. They just denied him for the sake of not getting killed. But, like, they still have faith in him.
Yeah, but they're cowards they just and did they're not good. Thing.
Yeah, they're cowards, but they still had their faith. Like, I think that they still believe
Jesus. I'm not saying that they didn't have faith. I'm saying that they were weak and cowardly.
Yeah, that's agreeable.
As we all are.
As we all are.
It's still a problem, though.
They're still saints. They're still, like, you know, Billboard 100 best people ever, but, given the proper circumstances, they would have been holding the lance of Longinus. Because I mean, regular people did that in the Soviet Union. It wasn't, you know, insane demons from hell. It was people doing the rapings and the killings and the shooting pregnant women in the head. Could have been you. It really could have been you.
I'd rather die. Honestly, you don't know rather
that.
Die than
you really don't know that. You don't know that at all, because if that was really, if suicide was as easygoing as most modern people think about it, then, or death rather, then people would have been killing themselves a lot more in, like, past examples of wars. I'm not saying that didn't happen, but there were plenty of situations where a lot of people chose to do something terrible instead of dying or getting tortured. So you could have been shooting pregnant women in the head. You don't know that. There's no way to say that you wouldn't. That's what I'm saying.
There's no way to say I wouldn't, but I don't think I promise. Like, if someone put a gun to me right now and said, "Oh, kill the
right now," my best friend but,
right next to me, I would not.
Yeah. What if I blowtorched you for 40 days until you did it?
I'd rather die. Yeah, I wouldn't care. I'd rather be tortured.
You don't know that. That's what I'm saying. You don't know that. What if I inject you with that venom from the most? Like the most painful thing you can ever experience is venom from a kind of scorpion. If I injected you with that and I told you I'd give you the antidote if you shot a pregnant woman in the head, you don't know what you would say.
I hope I would choose someone else over me, but yeah, you never know at the end of the day. You never really know, but I would hope that I do the right thing.
We don't know. That's the craziest part. We would have done it. We don't know. I didn't see. I don't remember anybody in the New Testament getting in fisticuffs with the Roman soldier saying, "Don't crucify Jesus or I'll kill you." I don't recall that.
But isn't it a good thing that they denied, because they would have been put to death as well if they had it, and then they wouldn't have been able to preach gospel. All the people that were saved by them.
I don't know.
Then, have been saved.
Is it good that Adam fell? So
well,
that,
Peter did know. Slice off of Malchus's ear. That is true. And Jesus told him not to take up the sword.
Yeah, he healed the ear of the soldier taking him during...
Because even when, like, wouldn't it be better, even better? I mean, I don't know. It's really, if you're going to say, like, oh, but they should have been kept alive. Yeah. But does that make it right to deny Christ as they did? Can't say that.
No. God makes something good out of bad, you know?
If it was okay, then Jesus would have done that too. Jesus would say, yeah, I'm not the Son of God, guys. So he could preach longer. But he didn't do that. He refused to do that specifically. He never, like, backed off from any of that.
He let it happen. He let it happen. He got taken. He knew he was going to be taken, and he made sure it happened.
Yeah. Scary. Scary. I mean, some people throughout the ages did, like, allowed themselves to be flayed alive and lit on fire in the name of Jesus. But they're not a lot. It's not in every corner you find those people.
Mm-hmm.
Would you die now, knowing what you know? Like, if someone, you're testifying in a, like, country where you're not supposed to, like North Korea, would you die for God?
If I was in North, I don't know, honestly, because I feel like I would die intuitively. I would intuitively want to do that stuff. Because I already did want to do that stuff before I was a Catholic. When I was like 16, I started thinking like, oh, it would be cool if I just, you know, learned how to shoot and then went into some places. Intuitively, I already liked that idea.
Yeah, so I probably, both of us.
To do it for Christ is just a bonus.
Yeah.
Oh, dear God, you sound like a school shooter.
I mean, obviously not schools, but keep thinking like there are places where somebody should go in with an assault rifle and kill everybody.
That's true.
So I already thought like, oh, that's cool. And it's not even that hard to do. I mean, who's actually trying to do that? Most of those dudes who are trying to do some political killing, they themselves are politicians in some way. And they want to like explode them but not die themselves or not get caught. So they send bombs and stuff or poison. What if I just went with the intention of dying? That's sort of less common, so I probably could do it.
With the intention of dying?
Like, somebody threw a shoe at George Bush. It must not be that. They killed JFK.
Yeah.
There was another president who got shot.
Just nobody does it.
Like Lee Harvey Oswald.
Something.
People really don't try it that much. So if you tried more, you'd get a lot more results.
That makes you, like, that goes against God because only God is allowed to determine, right? Like,
I don't know, if you caught a rapist, is it okay to kill him?
Probably would just take him to jail, honestly.
What if in jail they're going to free him, as they would right now?
I wouldn't be happy about that, but, like, only God gets to punish because he's the judge. We are not the judge.
Okay, then why are the people who run the judicial system allowed to punish? They're not God.
Uh-oh. Well, they're not supposed to do that. If we were following God, truly,
okay, then nobody punishes nobody ever?
But we wouldn't, if we were actually truly following God, we wouldn't have that problem because God would be the one who judges.
Okay, that's a good thing. That's idealism, and I like that. But let's say that we live in a global population of Christians who follow God's law. Let's say one guy doesn't and he's murdering everybody. What do we do about him?
Put him in a hole somewhere.
That's still a punishment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, shoot. But we got our only gift from God was our free will. So if we say, oh, my free will overrides yours, we're basically saying we're better than God. We know better than God. That's the
not necessarily. I mean, that is true in the case that, let's say, one guy is masturbating because then he's just hurting himself. But if one guy is killing other people, he's violating their
free will. He's
violating them. Yeah. So at that point, we can intervene.
Okay, that's fair. I guess. I don't know. Would you shoot somebody? I don't think I could kill somebody.
I would do it.
I've thought about it, and I'm like, I probably shouldn't. It'd be better if they were somewhere, and maybe one day they convert or something. I hope I wouldn't. I don't know if I wouldn't. If you catch, like, this is a real situation. If it's like a Muslim child rapist, you know they're not gonna go to prison. You know they're not gonna get punished. You know they're not even gonna get deported, and they'll probably do it again. And you have a gun? Gotta go, see you later, bye.
Yeah.
You haven't killed anybody yet, though. So that says something about yourself right now.
Yeah, they raped somebody. You could.
There's a lot of rapists that you could kill right now, but you haven't. Why?
You telling me I should? Okay.
Okay,
I'm just asking why. That's your belief.
Like who? Who could I... What rapist could I kill right now?
Because I think my...
Tell me the info. Give me the info.
Yeah. My effectivity as a rapist murderer would, like, the cost benefit of that would be negative.
That's why you don't do it.
And that's one of the things that St. Augustine said about just war, is that the benefits have to outweigh the negative consequences of it. That's one of the necessities for just war. That the consequences for engaging in that war, it doesn't matter if it's righteous, if the consequences are so bad that the possible benefits are completely overcome by them, then it's not worth it. Which is why God told Moses and the Jews to not rebel against the Egyptians, because if they did that, they'd all die. And that's worse than them being slaves. But if I was a highly effective, like very well trained person and I didn't have a wife. Oh, baby. What do you, dude? I wouldn't be spending any money, you realize. I would have a bunch of money being a single adult male that is like athletic enough to be able to like kill another adult, to hold a gun, to hold an assault rifle, and, you know, be able to handle the recoil. What do you do then? So at that
go
point,
aha mode.
At that point, you it's too crunk to say no, is what I'm saying.
Too crunk, lint, and turd, and lint. Too much lint.
I mean, what's his name? Tommy something from
Wiseau?
The British guy, Tommy McNuts? What's his name? Tommy.
Well, his name is not even
Tommy. Tommy. He's from, the guy with the Muslims. Tommy Robinson. Yeah, that guy.
Tommy?
He constantly got in fights with Muslims because they were rapists, and he would film their face and get on their face about it. You know, and that's fair.
I think exposing them is good, like showing other people.
He wouldn't just expose them, he'd fight them physically.
Oh.
He'd knock them out, too. Fighting them's
fine. Would you at least physically fight one of them? Lotus?
Oh, hell yeah.
If that were, like, possible, of you course. Weren't, like, an anemic, like, underweight, anorexic, whatever.
Yeah, for sure. I'd fight them if I could, but I'd probably get raped if I tried.
That's, yeah. That's why you bring a gun. Anyways.
That's why you bring a gun. That's why you go to those places with a gun and you kill everybody. That's why you would do that if you chose to do that. But if I ever were to find myself turning like 29 or 28 and I didn't have a wife and had, you know, expendable income, what do you think I'd be doing? Smoking weed? I wouldn't.
Buying a lot of Steam games and guns.
Yeah, I'd be buying Steam games. That's why I call it. I'll be buying a lot of Steam games. Getting ready for the great Steam
iOS
marathon.
Update.
I'd have 10,000 hours on Civ 5 and a whole lot of Steam games.
What if the rapee was lying? I mean, obviously I would verify that very well.
Yeah, it's under the assumption that you know for sure. Like you straight up saw it or something.
I'm not saying like found a militia right now and go do it. I'm saying if this is a thing, like if you could go to
and not even that you should, but just asking, what would you do if that were the case? That's an interesting sort of personality litmus.
Like, for example, I know for sure that Bill Gates killed like hundreds of thousands of people and made a bunch of people infertile.
Mm-hmm.
So, what would you do to Bill Gates? If there was no consequence to...
We had this on a stream highlights before.
Yeah.
That's with the Joker one.
Or George Soros. If you had George Soros in front of you, what would you do?
It's an old man. An old man. They're all old men. I would have to study
for like 30 days every single one of the things he did so I could figure out what would be the appropriate punishment for him.
Mm-hmm.
That's how terrible he is.
You're getting put on a watch list after this.
We're probably both on a watch list.
Already. Long time ago. It's fine. It's fine. It's weird, though, if you go back 100 years, this is like a no-brainer for everybody. They'd be like, oh, yeah, you just
kill him.
Kill him.
Now we're all, well, we can't do that. The death penalty is a bad thing because it is what it
is. 100
years ago, come on. It's not even a conversation.
So you're pro capital punishment?
I mean, okay, yes, take sir. This. If someone does that to one of your kids, and you know,
he's leaving
for sure.
Time to turn my swag
Game
on.
Game over. Time to turn my swag on. Oh,
that's different if it's my kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Too much. It's too much. Too much. Too many bones in this banana. I'm just saying, it makes me really happy to think about this stuff. Cause then I can imagine, I can visualize it. Do you remember? I don't know. I don't really like talking about this live because it's too real. It's so real, I don't wanna have this sort of stuff coming up again and again, but man, some things are just so cool.
Oh my god. You're out here like having vivid imageries.
Yeah, dude, if you could kill Bill Gates, what would you do to him?
That's a creative writing prompt right there.
Bill Gates.
I mean, you know how many old people he killed? You know how many old people he must have killed? How many people right now are starving because of him? How many women can't have children or are having to form babies because of him? I can't even do that math.
Oh, yeah, you just, because one of the things is doing vaccines in third world countries that aren't really, you know, safe or approved yet, and then the women are barren and their children are retarded.
Yeah, just stick the blacks with the num-num juice, and then they can't really tell anybody because they speak African and nobody understands what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to put it on YouTube and make a cool, sexy documentary about it, so... So they're just a conspiracy. How about like in South Africa where they're like raping all the women in a family and then blinding the man and letting him live, or like boiling kids alive? What would you do to those people? And the government is like makes fun of that.
You couldn't just kill one person and then it's over. Like you need to like get rooted with the, like you need to be really deep in and like change laws and shit. You know what I mean?
I think that's why the Israelites completely destroyed every city that they came to and killed everybody inside. I think that's why
the laws, they
did that.
Man. God flooded the earth at one point. It was so bad.
You could change the laws 1,000 times. They did that in Haiti. There were white people there and they were trying to fix everything. And then one day the black Haitians just beheaded and raped everybody and then drank white people blood.
Really? What the
fuck?
Yeah,
pretty much. Same thing in Liberia.
Oh my god. Weird.
Pretty much that. You can change the laws 1,000 times. It wouldn't make a difference. You would have
to introduce God.
You'd have to introduce the law.
Yeah, they wouldn't even claim spoils of the places that they conquered. They would just kill everything and destroy the whole thing.
Stupid. Doesn't make any sense.
How are you supposed to take care of it, man?
One of the things that the Pope said was that it's wrong to say that no heresy is not worth being burned at the stake, because some heresies are like, I believe that babies should be killed when they're in the womb. And that's literally true. The Aryans would kill babies when they were in the womb because they believed to put more souls in the material bodies was a bad thing. So they would kill pregnant women. And, you know, that sort of thing. Yeah, I think you should be burned at the stake. And he said that ex cathedra, so it's literally, aight, you got the approval. In some cases, burning at the stake is okay. If you kill a pregnant woman, you should be burned at the stake. That's appropriate. Imagine that's your wife or like your mom. Or, man.
Yeah, that's pretty scary. What about turn the other cheek? What about turn the other cheek?
Classic.
Yeah, but also go into the temple, flip the tables. Money changers.
When Jesus was being dragged away, he let them drag it when all the apostles were like fighting and they were screaming, oh, be violent. And then even in Acts, like afterward, like they had a lot of disagreement because a lot of the people wanted to just fight with their fists, but then they're like, oh, but remember God's teaching, like don't be violent. So then they kind of split up at one point because some of them believe like fighting and others believe being passive.
I don't know.
I think it's both. I mean,
be peaceful at all costs. Then what's with the sword thing?
Yeah. What's with going in the temple?
Your word is your sword, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's figurative. It doesn't mean literal sword.
I think.
Okay. Then turn why is that turn... figurative and not the cheek thing?
Yeah.
Not the what?
The give the other cheek thing wasn't figurative, but the sword thing was.
It is figurative. Turn the other cheek just means like let your enemy be shitty and you don't be shitty.
Okay. Does that mean I should let them kill me?
Apparently.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think turn the other cheek. That works.
Pope Urban II also didn't think so, and he did one of the coolest things ever.
It applies for small things because you really there's
yeah,
no
if that's
purpose
true, by the way,
in retaliating.
What's with God saying, telling the Israelites to genocide the Midianites?
Well, if God gives you permission, then I'm sure that's fine.
Yeah, what's up with the whole Old Testament?
Says, do this.
But anyways,
Old Testament
yeah.
contrasts the New Testament a lot when it comes because the Old Testament says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but that's why Jesus came and renewed.
Like, yeah, because
for a modern world.
Well, yeah, the thing is like New Testament, God gives you more mercy, but you have to be more merciful on others. As for turn the other cheek, that's for smaller things, I would assume, because that's part of humility. And not retaliate at people for small things, but if someone's trying to kill you, then
okay,
yeah, you do take up
me,
the sword.
Explain to me
they're
the
trying to rape
figurative
you?
Meaning of this. Do not think that I came to send peace upon earth. I came not to send peace, but the sword.
Yeah, your word is your sword.
Yeah, but I didn't come to send peace, and he said that twice.
And that's God, right? Who's saying that?
That's Jesus, yes.
Yeah, only God can do that. Only God's permitted to do, like, penalize and judge. Even then, sometimes he doesn't. Like, he says, he who knows no sin cast the first stone. And he could have cast the stone himself, but even as God, the one who knew no sin, he chose not to cast the first stone, even though he was the only one who technically could. So there's times where he doesn't even punish. Could.
Well, there are occasions where people engage in violence and God tolerates it without them asking beforehand, so.
Oh yeah, like what?
Well, there's plenty of examples in the Old Testament, especially with wars.
Oh, not the Old Testament.
No, New yes, Testament, the Old Testament. That's like, because both of them are
the
equally
Old Testament
true.
Is so different, but it's so different from the New Testament.
Equally
the
true.
Old Testament is like. God came and like made things new for modern like living. That's why Jesus came, was to renew and make things.
Yeah, he renewed, like, but he didn't alter. That there was not a single. He was the whole of the law, and the law was the Old Testament. He didn't
yeah.
change
oh, he
anything.
Said. Jesus said. Oh wait. Let me pull up the actual
He said something like, I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it.
Yeah, he's not replacing or altering any single thing.
Oh, here we go. Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:38, he says, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, over the other cheek also. So see, he states the old way that they would go about it, and that's what the Bible said before, and then he then follows up with
turn the other cheek. Wait, where does the Old Testament say eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth again?
I don't know, let me see.
I found it.
Yeah, this is a meat thing.
It's 24 DRBO. Because we are going to get into the weeds with this one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He that giveth a blemish to any of his neighbors as he hath done, so shall it be done to him. Breach for breach, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, shall he restore. This is the one I found. What blemish he gave, the like shall he be compelled to suffer. So, I'm not sure Jesus is claiming that this is wrong, but that this is codeterminant with turn the other cheek. Because here, we're saying, like, this is the difference, and I think it is a specific difference where he's saying, if someone were to strike you on your face, you wouldn't strike them in their face because that would escalate. But if someone literally takes your eye from you, I think that's about as escalated as it could get. And I think it's worthwhile to be specific. I think it is a specified thing. If I were to strike you in your face, then and you were a man.
Mm-hmm.
Then, or yeah, child. I get it if you don't strike back because you don't want to escalate the fight. But if I come at you with a knife and I want to rip your eye out, then I think at that point violence is justified and I shouldn't have to, wait. Let me know if I can stab you back. Let me ask God. God, can I stab this guy back? I think that's not to be expected of you. I think it's literally true. Yeah, if someone strikes you in your face, you probably you shouldn't escalate it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's figuratively true in that you should have mercy.
Passage. Why do you put it right next to, like, why would he say, oh, you've heard an eye for an eye, but I say, and then he corrects it. Sounds like he's
correcting. Well, you're the one saying it's a correction. As far as I'm concerned, so 1 + 1 = 2, 2 + 2 = 4. He's just expounding upon it as he would do it. But he's not saying this is wrong and this is right, because that would be very contrary to what Jesus was all about.
Yeah.
He didn't come to destroy the law, he came to fulfill it. He didn't alter anything from the Old Testament.
How could God previously have prescribed something wrong?
And yeah, unless God was wrong, which doesn't make sense.
No, it's not wrong. It's just not appropriate for the time. Like, it makes more sense when you're like,
well, does morality change?
Yeah, what's different now?
You're working with cavemen who barely, like,
I mean, people say that about Christianity right now. They say it's outdated, that it should allow abortion and gay people, and so it should modernize.
I would object to you saying that we're not cavemen. Who are you to say that we're beyond violence now?
No, just that we're a lot more knowledgeable than
wouldn't say that. I think we're stupider in a lot of ways.
No, not you. I would say that if you were born back then versus now, like, let's say you were born in year one versus mm-hmm. now, like, you're definitely more smart today than you were back in year one.
I wouldn't say that. I really wouldn't.
Really?
I know how to work a computer. Back then, I learned how to translate things in Aramaic.
Yeah. That's,
it would just be converse, but it would still be, I would be as smart. And I wouldn't
and
say
they
that
weren't,
violence
they,
is, I,
they
I don't
weren't
think Jesus
cavemen.
Was saying we're over violence. I just think he was saying don't escalate. because that may create greater violence. You engage in violence, and this is another just war thing. You engage in violence when you can, when that engaging in violence will, in general, diminish the amount of violence. You don't engage in violence rectify the problem. And create more, but if it's going to make the amount of violence less, then that's good.
That kind of makes sense.
It's not going to put your eye back, but it might. It'll prevent the other guy from taking other people's eyes, right?
Yeah, because if he doesn't get punished, all right, this worked, dude.
Yeah. I don't know why he likes collecting eyeballs, but you know.
Yeah, if someone tries to rob you and you let them, you're like, wow, this robbery thing really works for me.
Yeah, people nowadays are just better at playing game shows. Probably they know more trivia. They also have crazy porn addictions and eat insane chemicals in their food. So that probably balances it out.
There's so much literature we can't even comprehend at this point that I'm not even sure. What exactly can we understand? We know how to mod Skyrim and we know what a CMD is and we know what these things are. But what makes knowing these things better than knowing how to translate things from Greek into freaking Latin? Those are equally as irrelevant in the large scheme of things. Not that they are completely irrelevant, but they're equally irrelevant. They're equally important, is what I'm saying. Oh, we got another hour. Oh, we going really going through it here. This is fun. Dude, you really got to stop missing streams. The streams are 25 times better when you're here.
Thank you. I feel like it's way worse. I dragged down the collective IQ.
It's good that you're here. It's like Alex Jones when he talks about being with Joe Rogan. It's good that you're here because then I explain things. Because me and Sophia explain things to you one by one from the true default position. Whereas if Sophia's talking to me, then she says three words and I already know she's talking specifically about the Manichaean heresy of
the dualism. You guys are one. You are basically one person at this point.
Yeah, vote the lesbians.
I 100% believe you are the same person, just in two different bodies.
If I merely say as above so below, Sophia knows the 41 things I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You don't though. I'm sure you don't.
I know the movie. You're the catacombs. That's all I fucking know about that.
Yeah, exactly. That's awesome. I like that movie. This movie's good. But specific things are better if you're going A, B, C with them.
It's like teaching a child talking to me.
Imagine having monkey brain. That would be great.
I don't have to imagine.
It sucks.
I live in all y'all civilization. Chat people will be peasant folk. I really wouldn't like to live with people who are on Twitch chats. Not specifically you, but just in general.
You guys talk to your audience a lot, or not really?
No, not really. Every once in a while, Pinevoy and Gabby are cool.
Yeah.
Haven't talked to Pine in a while, but he's awesome. I remember him being based in Red Pelt.
We should revive the D&D campaign or at some point. Oh.
By the way, Sophia, as soon as we're done here, get on editing this.
Oh yeah, that was my plan. I have nothing else to do today. I have nothing else to do today, so.
Imagine.
Yeah, this week I have this holy week, so I'm can't game, can't watch stuff, no social media, YouTube, whatever. I guess I'm gonna just be reading.
Wait, be right back. I need to fart and pee.
be right back. I need a fart. Going to the bathroom to fart. It's kind of a girl boss move.
So, do you have plans for Easter?
Not really.
You don't, like, do things? Like, normal people?
No.
Easter activities?
So, I'm, like, the only Catholic person in my family, so I'll just go to church. That's probably about it. I guess.
Church, yeah.
Maybe. Maybe this time so I'll hold him at gunpoint.
It's pretty smart. Like, you can convince your parents. I don't think I could ever do something like that. Like,
I did it on accident, so.
What do you mean?
I don't know. Just, like, gradually, I just dropped things here and there. And at first they thought I was schizophrenic, and then they just became receptive. Certain people are very unusually receptive to these sorts of ideas, and other people just completely reject it and continue living in cuckoo banana land.
Maybe you're good at communicating as well. Makes sense to them.
I don't know.
Probably. That's weird.
I've tried with some people, and it makes no difference. I've been around some people for a year, 2 years, and they went right back to BLM, Antifa, atheism. So
probably because they're cowards. It's easier to, like, just adopt that and be safe than, like, say something that might challenge.
I don't know what it is.
Their reputation.
I don't think it matters what people believe politically anyways. As long as they're a Christian. God.
That's what I think, too, but sometimes politics interfere with God. That's what I don't like.
Yeah, obviously, if you're like politically... Oppression. Yeah, if you're like, abortion, but also... But that gets rectified on its own, and without you having to be, like, an active political pundit.
On its own. Like, smooths itself out.
Yeah, if you spend time in circles that are actually Christian, they'll be like, oh no, abortion's not cool, and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of Christians that, like, lean extremely liberally, but it confuses me because a lot of it contradicts, like,
obvious. Yeah, obviously. Because they're trying to hijack it to make it, not, you know, make it Satanism or whatever.
Hijack is the game. It's always the game.
Uh-huh.
It's weird how old
like
is.
Joe Biden funds Planned Parenthood a lot, I think. And that's weird. And he claims
he's
a Christian.
What does Joe Biden do?
Isn't he just a dementia old man? Or is he secretly smart playing 15D chess?
I really can't believe that he's
tumbling down the stairs, having diarrhea, breaking his neck. 5D chess moves. Money moves. Girl boss moves.
Joe Biden, the president.
Joe Biden, the president of girl boss, of being a girl boss.
The president of girl boss enterprise. His vice president is really Kamala Harris. That's crazy.
Kamala Harris. Cringe. I don't get it. Is he secretly still, like, mentally fine, and he's, like, raping a bunch of kids, or is he just, like, literally just retarded, has dementia?
He's just doing it in secret now.
Both.
He's a retarded, dementia-ridden rapist of children, apparently. Hey, I mean, it's not mutually exclusive.
He's wearing a t-shirt getting vaccinated. That's so retarded. I hate seeing people wearing t-shirts. You're older than 45. Just quit the t-shirt game.
Wear suits at always. That should be an excuse to wear suits always when you're old.
Just wear button-up, what is it called? The clothes you wear when you go to sleep. The second time I forgot this, I'm getting old.
Yeah, pajamas? We just wear pajamas all the time?
Wear button-up pajamas all the time. I wouldn't stop you.
That's actually true.
His second name is Robinette. What a homo. But he bangs men. What's his son's name? Hunter Biden. Yeah, nothing came of that either, did it?
Nope. Smoked crack.
Just walks around banged, casually. Got away as a with child it. Toucher. So stupid.
I didn't smoke crack,
even though there's a video of me smoking crack. And imagine smoking crack. It's kind of crunk. Oh, man. I think the ideas document is coming to life now. It's a problem. Because Lil Nas X wants to rape my dad?
Yeah, he wants to. Yeah. It's so crazy that I keep seeing this stuff pop up. You really think it was evangelical Christians bothering this black teenager when he was a black teenager? You know it was hood rats humiliating him
for being gay
all the time. Yes.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, what?
You know, like Lil Nas X, what do you think? A pastor was coming around the kids and saying, you're gonna go to hell if you're gay. It wasn't. It was dude saying, yo, this nigga like to suck penis. Can you believe that? Oh, man, are you gay? Oh,
this dude, yo, like, yeah.
His buns wag.
100%.
That's what was happening to him. I know it was that. So why is he lying to me, acting like it was Christianity? It was.
Does he rap. Say that?
It was black people. You should be making a video wearing the Klan hoodie.
Oh, I hated the new video. I hate it. It's blatant spit in the face of God. Why is that okay? Even like that's so disrespectful to my belief. Why do they? But then they're like, oh, you have to be sensitive toward other people's belief unless it's like Christianity or God, the actual God.
And this is
wait, is his name? His name is Montero. What the kind of name is that? Oh, of course, his middle name is Lamar. All these, how did every black person have one name that's Lamar?
There's only one black person. Conspiracy.
I'm not joking. J. Cole is Jermaine Lamar Cole. Kendrick Lamar. Lil Nas X is Montero Lamar Hill. Stop.
Kendrick Lamar.
And this is if I'm pretending that he actually chose to make that song, which obviously wasn't. He got put up to do that by his Jewish executive producer.
Yeah.
Obviously. You think he cares about Christianity? You think he cares about any religions whatsoever? If that was true, he'd be making songs about how Jews and Muslims are also homophobic. He's not. It's because his executive producer said, you made the Jesus thing. And it's like you're getting a little too country. You have to have more of an edge to you. And you have to do something like, I don't know, Satan, the Satan song. You have to do something like that. And it probably was worse than that. It was probably hit this. And they give him an ayahuasca joint. He smokes it. He wakes up. He's raping a kid. And they're taking pictures of him. They're saying, if you don't do exactly what we tell you, we're going to post these to Instagram. And he's like, oh, okay. It's probably more like that.
Yeah. Dude, kid, you just make the song. You'll be relevant again. We'll get it on the top of the charts. Don't worry about it. Okay.
Not even worth it, though. Like, what?
Well, people go crazy. They don't really understand why they're famous. They don't really understand what is being famous. And they think it's all good.
Why would you want to be famous? That just sounds like a living hell.
Man, I'm like stupid. Still very... I still don't know if I'm going to do the... Like, when I do the interview thing, when I go over there, will I have to show my face? Because that's scary to me.
What interview?
Because I'm going to go to America and I'm going to do an interview with Sophia. To the guys from the British broadcast channel.
Oh, for real?
Yes.
Yeah, keep it on the down low for now.
On the down low.
Don't talk about it. Shh.
Oh, it's a secret?
Eh, a little bit.
Wait, what are you going to be talking really. About there?
I don't scary. Know. They're going to ask questions. I guess I'm going to answer them.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Oh, really?
They're so, like, you've seen them, right? Oh my god, that's so scary. I'd be spooked of those guys. They're like the Pharisees where they kind of like
ask nah, it'll questions be fun. That you it'll straight up be fun, especially if Victor's there.
I don't know. I find it scary. I really don't. What? I'm really weary about showing my face. I might wear a mask or something.
Yeah, you can maybe have them blur out your face or something.
I really don't want to do that.
You have to have like pride because if you have a mask, that means you have something to hide. Like people aren't gonna.
Yeah, my face. My identity.
That means you're humiliated, but like you should stand behind your word. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I will. But I really wouldn't like if people started DMing my wife on Instagram and telling her that she's gonna die.
They won't. They haven't done it to Soph.
Oh
right?
Yeah.
I hear your wife.
You know what I wouldn't like if they found out where I live. That would be fun. They started mailing me stuff.
No one's gonna pay to go to Brazil.
Yeah, they won't. All but maybe they'll ship British. Me something. They've surely spent more money doing other stuff before.
They
maybe there's some people
Soph
here.
Anything. Soph is fine if she said crazy shit.
Yeah.
If she's not dead, you won't be dead.
I don't know.
Well, it is a privilege to be anonymous.
Yeah, it is a privilege to be anonymous.
Especially since you're probably gonna have.
Even if they
want to
kill Sophia, her parents are billionaires, they can just. If it really becomes a problem at some point, they can just like move out to the middle of nowhere and become farmers, which I guess they will do anyway.
Killer.
I can do that. If like they start mailing me stuff and try to kill me, I'm like, I'm gonna have to join the local gang. I'm gonna have to become a Brazilian blood and then defend myself like that.
You're so paranoid.
Yes.
Show your face.
Well, yeah. Welcome to my life. I can't show you my face, but I'm not going to show a bunch of unknown people in public my face.
They're going to think you are like ashamed of what you believe. They're not going to take it seriously.
No, I don't want them to figure out where I live and my and everything else about my life.
That's cool. BBC. That's pretty cool.
Because I don't want to detain, because if that becomes a worry and if that becomes a stress, unnecessarily, then I don't want it to be a worry. I really don't want to worry about that.
Wait, why did they contact you? Like, what's the topic at hand?
Sophia?
Huh?
Why did they contact you? What is the topic at hand?
I don't know if I can talk about it.
Oh, okay. It's a secret. It's that's a secret. Fine. You gotta get that it's a secret.
Secret. Okay.
It's a total
just hope
secret.
That they're not gonna some like stupid shit like try to make you look like
no it's cool because if they I'm a minor if they do anything I can straight up rape them.
That's true.
I'm not a minor.
True. Pretty smart card.
They have million, especially because they're in the UK they have very strict guidelines about that sort of thing, so you're screwed if they try to mess with me. But
part of my desire to not show my face is also because I eventually want to try to make a comic book or TV show series, and I want to pretend that I'm a Brazilian immigrant Jew, and I don't want anybody to know my face by then, so that I can pretend to be a Brazilian immigrant Jew to get, like...
Why are you so far away from the mic?
Minority. Oh, am I?
Yes.
Minority points. Let me turn it up. Maybe.
Sounds far away.
Sounds far away. It sounds like you're in far. A you're in a bucket.
Okay, now it's right.
Okay, yeah.
Eventually, I want to go to America and have meetings with people and try to pitch TV shows and comic books. And I want to pretend I'm a Jew from Brazil, so I get a lot of minority points. But then they can't know I'm, you know, the closest clan member I am.
Showing your face.
Yeah,
yeah, I can so show crazy. You my face. I have no problem with that.
So cool. You look like a baby. Weird. Why am I talking to 5-year-olds right now?
Yeah.
Is the wife there?
She's in the bedroom.
Farting.
You look kind of like Jesus.
Got the long hair right now.
didn't know your hair was that long.
Yeah, I'm growing it out. It's either or for me. If I have it, either I have it long and I don't shave, or I always remember Sandy Hook, or I just shave it, which I was doing for a while. 2 years ago.
Did you just say Sandy Hook?
Yeah, I'm going through Joseph Biden's Instagram page, and he has a post about Sandy Hook there. I don't know why he did it.
Do you believe that it's real? You believe Sandy Hook is real?
Probably not.
Oh.
It's probably not.
Wait, do you?
It seemed really staged. Post that. Me denying it, because I'm going to get fucking canceled. I don't fucking believe it one bit.
What? I can't put that in the video? There's all
these videos, and they took it down.
Why not?
No, I'm going to get killed. They're going to fucking kill
me. No, that doesn't matter.
Every time I say people get so mad at me.
What people? And how? Ooh. Why do you even hear them?
My audience.
What I have audience? Like a half liberal uncensored audience.
I built a no like my my audience before I went uncensored.
This is me meeting Sophia a month from now.
come on, I don't have that much Down syndrome. Just kidding, I do.
That makes you a pedo. Do you really want to be a pedo?
Yeah, child rapist. Crack smoking child rapist.
Yeah, Sandy Hook.
Folks. Right, tell me about Sandy Hook. I really don't know anything about that stuff.
I watched one thing on...
They
said all
the
on...
kids, like, they asked the people in the neighborhood, and then they didn't recognize the kids who died, who, like, they're like, we don't know these kids, and then they all coincidentally were, like, government workers' kids that they'd never seen before. Like, and then they take down all the videos that, like, pointed out. So irritating.
I watched something on BitChute about it, and it was like, yeah, a lot of the kids were, like, kids of actors or something like that. And when they were, like, when it was, they were all evacuating the school, they were actually walking in circles. And then there's a security video, and the annotations for it are completely wrong. Like, the guy who annotated is like, oh, yeah, and at this time stamp, the kids are evacuating and the teachers, and none of that happens. There's nothing that happens.
None of it adds up.
And then one of the guys that they interviewed in the neighborhood, who, like, supposedly took kids in, his story was different every time, and there's like footage of him like getting ready to act. Oh, and same with one of the parents, he's like smiling and laughing before the interview, and then he like starts acting, and he like gets sad all of a sudden and starts like tearing up.
Yeah,
I recognize one of the crisis actors from like 9/11 in Sandy Hook as well, like the same guy or some shit like that. Like, it was the same guy who they interviewed for 9/11.
Yeah, I recall that.
So stupid.
Sloppy work.
Remember Alex Jones talking about that?
Yeah, none of it adds up.
Hitler walked so Babe could run?
Yeah, what about it?
Yeah, Lotus hasn't ever gone fully through the ideas, Doc, correct?
I think we walked her through it a little bit.
We?
Yeah, and she was just confused the whole time.
Yeah, I suppose.
I'm tripping out, Vic. Your face looks like a child.
Gosh. No, I really don't think so.
Yeah, me neither.
You have a kid face. What? He has a kid face. He looks like a kid. It's weird. Both of you look like kids.
What?
Weird.
Yes, well, like, so facial hair. I don't know. Well, yeah, but
I don't know. I've seen 16-year-olds who look like normal. Sophia has a developmental issue.
Yeah, autism.
Or a couple, or a handful.
Or a handful, or a dozen, or you know. Don't have to talk about it.
Oh, the child rapist has gone down.
When she gets old, she'll look young.
No, I'll be like a Chinese person.
Yeah.
But they're like they're like wrinkly old babies. Nah, really nice look.
How old do you want to live?
shoot a lot. 80 at least. Hitting 80 is the most important.
Okay, the only thing about Sandy Hook, and maybe it's tangentially possible to follow up on this, is that one of, like, in the elementary school I went to, one of my brother's classmates' cousins was, like, one of the kids that died in it.
What?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Repeat that?
Okay, so at the elementary school I went to, one of my brother's classmates, that classmate's cousin was, like, a Sandy Hook victim.
What?
And I don't know how that works. I don't know.
Maybe they killed some.
Well, they could also just move them somewhere else entirely. Yeah.
They could put up kids that already died. Like, nothing stops them from doing that.
Because I remember there was, we had, like, back in elementary school, there was, like, a ceremony or something. Where, like, something was commemorated.
Commemorated? They were celebrating Sandy Hook?
No, they weren't celebrating. They, like, commemorated something to the kid that died or whatever.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
That makes it more valid that you actually know somebody.
I don't know, yeah, how, I mean, even if you don't, you have to ask, well, how does that work? Because these are real children, so what do they do with them?
They're
already dead, or yeah, they put them in another country or another place. And then once they're old enough, they come back or something.
Do mess up shit with kids all the time. Like, I'm sure they can make, like, child soldiers, like, Halo style Master Chief kind shit.
Yo. I think we know what the government does with children, yeah. Alright, see ya, Maguku.
They have a lot of ideas. Pretty creative.
There's plenty of stuff. They get creative.
Bruh, the government kinda scares me. Not gonna lie.
There's so many places you can live, like, out of its reach, though. So doesn't really concern me too much.
Are you gonna live off the charts one day?
Live off the charts? Live off the grid? I'm gonna be off the Billboard Top 100 one day. My songs will stop being popular. And then once that happens, it's... Yeah. I'm safe.
Sophia is the 15th member of Brockhampton, as you would know.
I actually like Brockhampton.
Yeah, of course you do.
That's a really funny joke. Yeah, I add diversity by being retarded.
The first Down syndrome chimp syndrome monkey.
The first Down syndrome member of Brockhampton. That's what I'll go down in history as.
Ideas, Doc.
Okay, hold on.
God.
The first Down syndrome member of Brockhampton. Me. All right, let me check what's being talked in the chat. Victor, you will be doxxed independent of whether you show your face or not. I don't know.
So if it got big enough, like, that's, really,
that sounds
really
very
big.
Difficult to do if you don't know anything, if you don't have my face. If you do have my face, I think it's easier.
Victor
looks like
image.
A monkey. I thought he looked like the Disney Aladdin, but apparently he don't.
Why Disney Aladdin?
I don't know, I guess because I would be brown. Oh. What celebrity does Victor look like? Who do I look like?
Didn't you say, like, Pete Orlando Davidson Bloom. Before something?
Oh, yeah, I sort of look like Pete Davidson.
Oh, kind of. Yeah, kind of. A little bit. Oh, you have a light in your eyes. Just like proper Christian or like proper Catholic. You look happy, like bright.
Good. Yeah, I see Orlando Bloom a little bit.
I can't really think of anybody else though.
Mm-hmm.
Looks really nice. He just looks so happy and good. He has a good face. Not in a like weird way, not in a flirty way. You just have a good face.
And pathologically.
No, he's not.
Yeah, you have to justify brown. Yourself. That really helps it.
Uh-huh.
That really fixes the the annoyance. When you say you don't mean that. I'm pathologically mentally healthy. I haven't ever experienced anything similar to depression or anxiety.
Really?
Yeah.
What? You? I've never ever been like a little bit depressed.
Yeah, he's mentally invincible.
It's crazy.
I think so that all the people around him wouldn't commit suicide, including me.
Oh.
No, it's man, not. It's supposed to be. You're making everything gay.
We didn't give you a hard time about flirting with me. And now you're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. Excuse
me, you're a married man. I don't do that. I'm not a homewrecker.
Pete Davidson is Jewish. I guess that explains why I look like him.
Mm-hmm.
Is he Jewish for real?
Yeah, his dad's.
Well, Davidson. Come on.
Tribal.
His dad just died in a fire, so like he has nothing to do with like selected. So I trust him. He's a good Jew.
Yeah, he looks like if he was born in a normal place, he'd probably be normal. But yeah, he had the unluckiness of being born in New York City and being talented. That's one of the worst things you can be, talented in New York City.
I like Pete Davidson.
Yeah, I do too. He's probably a cool guy. Probably smokes too much weed though.
Yeah, you could tell. Looks perpetually high.
Let me see here. When are you going to release the ideas doc? When it's 100 pages.
That's true. Occasionally, I just think about like a Twitter account that like tweets one of these every day. I feel like that would be, you know, bringer of joy. Why has he got Puddin' Pop lips?
Puddin' Pop sucking lips?
Yeah.
Suck the Puddin' Pop? I could suck a Puddin' Pop out of a plane.
Could what? Repeat that.
Suck a Puddin' Pop out of a plane turbine. Backwards.
Upside down and backwards.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, there's in the plane turbine, there's where the air goes in and where it comes out. I could throw the Puddin' Pop here and wait until it went through, and I could suck it from here and it would go back. Connor, the wind tunnel. The tunnel. Yeah, the tunnel.
Smiles. What tunnel?
Tunnel. What tunnel?
Big you don't want to know teeth. What tunnel. You don't want to know what tunnel. Does he smoke crack?
You mean...
Dang.
wow, somebody just farted bad. What was that?
Wow.
No, someone's blowing their nose upstairs. They're right. Not farting.
Yeah.
That's a new one. Oh, someone's blowing their nose upstairs.
I'm serious. I promise.
Someone's blowing their nose upstairs.
Yeah, you're on the top floor.
Yeah.
I mean, on the roof. They're blowing their nose on the roof.
I live in a like paper wall. The walls here are like, see, they're doing it again. That's how you know I'm not doing it. They're doing it as I'm talking. The walls are paper thin, so like it feels like we're roommates because I constantly hear their conversations and what they're watching and shit.
Yeah,
I constantly hear that they're farting. Yeah.
I can hear them talking
and they can hear me farting. It's really crazy.
That's just gonna happen again. You'll know that I'm not doing the deed. I promise I wouldn't do that on stream. It's so weird. Just openly rips farts while everyone's having a good conversation.
Openly ripping farts on the stream in Boyston.
in Boyston. I forgot what Lotus looked like.
Like me. I'm on sensor TV, you can just see my face there.
Do you have a camera?
I can show my face.
Yeah,
one sec. I look so bad right now. Wait. Let me look at my phone and check my face before I see. Yes.
Take a shower and put on makeup before you turn the camera on, or we're gonna humiliate you.
Wait, where's my phone? Shit, I dropped it. Just make sure my hair is not like retarded. It does that. I'll go in my bathroom.
Have you been working on at this comic cartoon series thing for a while? No, I haven't worked on it at all. But I already have all of it laid out in my mind. I could lay it down.
You should do that.
Yo. It's so good.
We gotta start all the projects, I think. Soon. Yeah. Gonna launch them. It's been long enough.
Dude, it would be so good.
What projects do you have? Well, obviously.
I could just write it and then pay Owen Cyclops like $5,000 to do it all. Or something like that.
Hey, Owen, here's my Bitcoin.
Please do this for me.
Keep your Bitcoin. It's more valuable than money.
I am keeping my Bitcoin all the way from Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably going to go to 80,000 in April, is what I'm hearing.
Oh, yeah.
I already put so many people up on it. That's so amazing.
Put me on it.
All right, I'll probably have to go soon.
Preaching the word. Yeah, in 15 minutes. Let's wrap it up in 15.
All right.
On my face. I'm here. Hello.
Oh, okay. Yo. Yeah, I don't know what I still cannot figure out what ethnicity you are.
Everything.
No, we already know.
Literally everything.
But we're supposed to keep it a secret.
I told you guys.
Do we know? Is it like that time when I told you I knew how to make cheese?
I've told you some, but I don't think I've said every race I am.
And it's a secret. I know your uncle.
Are you
black
really a universal
like
world
or
baby?
Or a black dude banged your uncle or aunt.
What? I don't have any black in me.
No.
Everything but black, really. And Jewish. I'm not Jewish, actually. Well, I think so. Maybe somewhere down the line, but from what I know, I'm not.
Okay, wait.
If I am.
What's the. You're Hawaiian, I'll so.
Do some ironic shit. No, I'm not Hawaiian. I live in Hawaii, but I'm not Hawaiian.
Okay, so what are you?
I've never said it before. I'll tell you off stream, but I don't.
Is it
I
a
have
secret?
This
it is like the time I told you I know how to make cheese.
It's
a secret
meme.
That doesn't have any reason to be a secret.
Oh, it's because it's funny. Because they always try to guess what I am because I look like 800 different things. Because I am 800.
You're like Ray William Johnson. You're never going to tell nobody.
I'll tell you, because I don't give a fuck. I tell you guys everything that I don't tell my audience. Just don't tell them. It's funnier though.
I mean, the weird thing is that, like, part Latino white people look Jewish even though not.
The problem with Hispanic whites is that they get a big-time bubble face.
Hispanic whites. Is that, like, Ariana Grande? No.
Gomez. Ariana Grande is Selena Gomez. What's that guy? Lil Xan.
Lil Xan, I don't know who that is. I don't know pop singers.
He just looks retarded.
They get this like bubble bloated face.
Dang, am I part Latino? Oh. That's crazy.
No, your head is entirely
square.
Round. Like Germans and High Germans, their face is like they have a very like a long and square face, like a tall face.
Like a
you
rectangle.
Can look up. Let me see if you can still find it. I think if you look Ponted. Look up Ponted. That's what I look like. European Ponted.
What is Ponted? Wait, I'll look it up.
That one of the phenotypes.
Yeah, that's my phenotype. Closest one.
Yeah, that's actually true.
How do you spell that?
B-O-N-T.
That's what I spelled, but it's just showing me pointy shoes. What?
Look up Pontid phenotype. Pontid
phenotype, yeah. I was gonna say that.
Okay.
You're gonna find out. It was an 80s aesthetic, okay, along with the rest of history.
What is this? What am I looking at? It was bad.
You're gonna find out.
That's my phenotype. Oh, I remember what ethnicity you were.
Don't say it out loud, if you know it.
Yeah, I won't. Well, I think at least partly.
There's one everybody knows. Everybody already knows.
Yeah, I think I know that one. I don't know the other one.
Yeah, I tell that one openly because it's too obvious.
You're not Asian, though, right?
I am.
Oh.
Don't say what I am, though. I'll tell you after.
Sorry, we have a no Asians policy here.
Oops, sir. Start Asian hate. Am I right? Throw some rocks at my house.
Oh, these are like, I'm looking at the phenotypes right now. I'm almost like the Lapids. And those are like native Scandinavian people, and they look Chinese, dude.
Lapid phenotype.
Let's go to this link.
Lapid, I found it. Yeah, like, that's you.
That's me.
Aww.
That makes sense, though, because my like dad's side is Finnish, as in they were all like farmers, like total like redneck Finnish people. So maybe I am really
Chinese. Is this you?
That is me. The heck? I can't believe you would just send a picture of me like that.
What is that thing? What is the nostalgia thing? The vaporwave thing? Nostalgic for a place I'm not sure even exists. Yeah, I just post this picture.
Yeah.
That's all the, those like, are your people right there.
Half Scandinavian, half Chinese looking babushkas.
Maybe it's part Mongolian, because everyone's
It's like Central Asian.
And you get the monkey face from your mom, which makes you look like Vladimir Putin.
Yeah, with big old Putin pop lips.
I feel like I look like him.
I got a Putin pop screen.
The Putin pop lips. That's where it comes from.
Yeah, no baby. Upper lip.
The Putin pop. Yeah, the Putin pop.
Was a fat 10-year-old eating too many pudding pops.
Suck a pudding pop out the back of a plane turbine.
Putin pop. He looks so retarded.
Alright, mate. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Those two dudes banged.
What?
To create me.
Yeah. Those two dudes banged each other, and then they both jizzed on a Chinese guy's face, and then Sophia came out.
This is like a mythological births kind of story.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty sure that happens in the Osiris myth.
Pretty much exactly that.
Maybe I can find my...
photos of your mom. I've never seen either of your parents.
Nah, I just look like my dad anyways, so...
Isn't that crazy that for you to exist, your dad banged your mom?
Oh God, please! Why would you say that?
It's particularly funny because we've mythologized the family of Sophia at this point, where her dad is a naked ape man and her mom is a chimp.
Her parents are
lovely people. Different species, after all. They're both very funny looking. Her mom looks like a Jewish chimp, and her dad looks like a frost giant with a big bobblehead. He looks like Michelin. He looks like Poppin' Fresh.
What is that?
Look up Poppin' Fresh. Pillsbury Doughboy.
Oh, that. Okay, I know.
The big fat smile on his face.
No. What?
If the Pillsbury Doughboy banged the Jewish chimp, it's Sophia.
God.
I've just told you the mythological origin of Sophia.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. Write a book about it.
We could. We could just make a genealogical tree. There's Vladimir Putin, the Pillsbury Doughboy, and then there's a Jewish chimp.
But imagine a chimp with a yarmulke. Like that.
Yeah, a chimp and a yarmulke. That's Sophia's mom. Her grandma is a normal chimp, but her grandpa is Jewish. Hence the Jewish chimp.
All right, should we wrap up?
Let's give it 7 more minutes. Let's wrap up at the nice end of the hour.
Okay.
Okay, so a chimp banged a Jewish version of Vladimir Putin and had your mom. I think that explains it. Who built your dad, though? What kind of golem is your dad?
One of the Scandinavian ones. I'm sure you could find it. He has like closer together eyes and a more sort of Jewish looking nose.
Neither of you are Jewish, yeah?
Hmm?
Neither of you are Jewish, right?
No. I don't think so. You never know these days, though.
You can never know.
Not like forbidden a knowledge.
It's like an occult ritual. If you do it, it shows up. But before you did it, it wasn't. Like, it's like witchcraft doesn't work on you until you perform witchcraft, and then it works on you. You're not Jewish until you try to see if you're Jewish, and then you become Jewish. Retroactively, you become Hasidic. All right. You're still laughing about the Jewish chimp illusion?
I'm usually like giggling in the background, but you can't tell because I'm not on camera. But like I'm constantly like shaking my head in the background.
Asians generally behave themselves unless they're in charge of the country. Yeah. Don't give Sophia a political position. You don't even want to see what comes out.
Okay, great. Which one of these looks like my mom? Looking at a collage of chimps, of pictures of chimps.
Yeah, you're looking at a whole, like a 4K monitor of pictures of chimps. Which one of these looks like my mom?
Inspecting for like 30 minutes.
Serbian, Croatian. I don't know. Let me try to remember. I think your mother looks kind of Bulgarian.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too, but I don't, that doesn't really.
Because she's not.
Mm-hmm.
Have you taken the ancestry test or do you enjoy that?
For my dad's sister did, and it was just 100% Scandinavian. But my mom, don't know. I know that I'm.
That's crazy.
I know that my mom is like 1/4 Tartar Mongolian, which makes me 1/8.
Oh. Explains your features a little bit, like the eyes.
Yep.
Downward slant. Pretty cool, though.
Yeah, Bulgaria makes that doesn't make any sense. How to jump a border. I did not ask for this. I'm not. Unless.
The Google ad thing starts thinking.
Let me find out. Let's find out how to jump a border.
All right, you want to wrap it up?
Sure.
So I can find out what her ethnicity is?
Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Peace out.